Everlasting Father, we bless your holy name, even as we confess with our mouths, O God. Lord, that we will not be silent, that we will always worship you. This is our confession. This is our declaration, God. Receive our worship in totality, that our lives, our all, will be acceptable before you. Heavenly Father, even as we go into your word this morning, we ask that you speak to each and every one of us a word in season, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we know that as we've come into your presence, our lives are the better for it. And for this, we bless your holy name. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shall be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. And for those joining us online, you're mightily blessed. I think we'll continue to encourage one another to come into the church building. I know that you're in the presence of the Lord, and the presence of God is with you wherever you are, whether in the church building or in your house. But we'll continue to encourage one another. Let us come together to fellowship together in the presence of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, and we're not a slave to fear. We're not a slave to sin. We're not a slave to COVID-19. We're free. The Bible says that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is my challenge to you, particularly those at home. Let us come together. Let us fellowship together physically. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Amen. Amen. You know, this past week, honestly, I've been massively blessed by the services of this week. And so we started with the Bible study on Wednesday. I was joking with Shimon. I said, Minister Shimon, you know, and he came back on Friday, took us through, you know, we had the prayer meeting on Thursday, the church prayer, first Thursday of the month. We prayed on Friday. We came together again. We prayed. On Saturday, the workers came together and we shared, you know, the word of God together. We had an awesome time in God's presence. And there was one thing, a theme that ran through pretty much all those services. And that is the need for us to take responsibility for our own worship, for our relationship with God. My wife cannot worship God for me. My wife cannot stand in God's presence for me. Yeah, she cannot hold me in the place of prayer, but I have to build my relationship. I cannot do it for my wife. I cannot do it for my sons. They cannot do it for me. It is about me and my relationship with God. It's about you and your relationship with God. And I believe that throughout this week, you'll have noticed, for those that attended the various services, there was that challenge to make that conscious effort to, you know, be intentional in our relationship with God. By the grace of God, I'm going to share from a verse of the scripture, which we memorized it a while back. We all know it, but I believe that it is fitting for us to look at once again. And it is Romans 12:1. I'm sure if I ask all of us to recite Romans 12:1, we can. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. Okay, can we chorus it? Please don't. I know everyone knows it, so Romans 12:1. Whichever version you know, it doesn't matter. Whether you want to start with, therefore, beseech you, therefore, brethren, by that as holy which is, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, various versions, therefore, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Go ahead, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service? The Amplified Version says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves at set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship, holy, devoted, consecrated. I appeal to you, therefore. I urge you, therefore. I am calling to you, therefore. I believe KJV starts with therefore. So, and you ask yourself, why therefore? Why the therefore? Why therefore? You know, after all said and done, therefore, as a consequence of all that has been said, the book of Romans is one that, if you haven't read it in recent times, I know you probably all read it, but if you haven't read it in recent times, revisit the book of Romans. Revisit it. Paul said so many things in the first few chapters, you know, pretty much laying out, you know, what Christ has done for us, the extent to which he's gone, to, you know, because of the love he has for us, because of the sacrifice he made for us. You know, you read from chapter 1, how he talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. You read in chapter 3, how he talks about, you know, sin. You go to chapter 6, how he talks about, you know, God being our Redeemer. And it goes on. And we arrive at, you know, chapter 12. And he's saying that, therefore. So you think to yourself, why therefore? Let's just look at a few verses in the preceding chapter, Romans 11 from verse 33. And I read, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says, all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it would be paid back to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. For from him all things originate, and through him all things live and exist, and to him are all things. You know, in the preceding verses of that chapter, we see how Paul was talking about the nation of Israel, and how, you know, he talked about the wild olive, and how we've been grafted in so that we can be saved. And it was also saying that, you know, we weren't originally destined to receive that salvation, God made a way for us. He made it possible so that we can be saved. That how much more the guys that originally were meant to be saved. So don't discount them. We're all going to be saved together. The Gentiles and the Jews will be redeemed together. But, you know, yeah, I talked about how it was the sacrifice of Christ that made that possible. And, you know, so like I said, I have a read through Romans. So with all this, he said from him, all things originated. Through him, all things live and exist. So you're here today, you're here online because of him, because of Christ. And I love that, is it John 5, where it says that, I'm the vine, you're the branches. It says, without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, you're nothing. No matter what you've got, no matter what you've attained, no matter what you've achieved, no matter your accomplishments. He said that without me, you can do nothing. Says, for from him all things originated, and through him all things live and exist, and to him are all things. So as a consequence of this, therefore, considering how much Christ has done for you, considering how much God has gone out of his way for you, I beseech you, I heard you, I appeal to you. I'm making this appeal. And sometimes indeed we have to make that appeal to one another. Sometimes we have to encourage one another because we cannot do it for others. They have to do it for themselves, but we can encourage, we can appeal, we can urge, we can beseech. And that is what, see, that is so much you can do. You know, you're not gonna convert anyone to Christ. You know that, right? You're not gonna convert anyone to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that will do his work. Yours is to go out there, yours is to preach the word, yours is to share, you know, your message, yours is to share your story. Yours is to point the way. Yours is to try and plant. Yours is to try and water. It is the Lord that grants the increase. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I beseech you, brethren, I charge you, I appeal to you, I'm calling to you, brethren. It says, present your bodies. Present your bodies. So this is a conscious act that you have to do for yourself. I cannot present Oge's body. Oge has to present his body. David has to present his body. Shame Lurie has to present his body. Demola has to present his body. Fumi has to present her body. When I said Fumi, we have three Fumis in the house. All three of them looked up. That's an interesting one. But, you know, we individually have to present our bodies. Nobody can do it for us. Praise God. You know, John 10, verses 17 and 18. It says, for this reason, the Father loves me. And this is Jesus Christ talking. For this reason, the Father loves me. John 10, verses 17 and 18. For this reason, the Father loves me. Because I laid down my life. The Father did not lay down the life of the Son. He said, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. And this is Jesus. The Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. Not the Father, not anyone. No one takes it from me. But I laid down of myself. I laid down of myself. I have power. You have a choice. You have a decision to lay down your life. That is a choice. That is something you do. He said, I laid down of myself. I have power to take it again. And then it says, this command I have received from my Father. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. I put it down at his feet. And, you know, Paul, you know, that was Jesus. That is the one that we're meant to be like, that laid down his life. And Paul was urging the believers in Rome. He said, you know what? Present your bodies. You have to do it. For this reason, I'm laying down my life. For this reason, I'm putting my body on the line. Praise God. We have to put our bodies on the line. Thank God for our spiritual worship. We know that, you know, the scripture teaches us that man is a tripartite being, as we say. Man is made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. All three should be given to the worship of God. And Paul started here by saying, present your bodies. So it's not just, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Awesome. Let your soul magnify God. What is your body doing? Is your body also praising Him? Is your body also worshiping Him? It says, present your bodies. Now, when Nicodemus went to meet Jesus Christ, you guys all remember that story in John chapter 3. Very, very an established man, affluent, a member of the Sanhedrin, if I'm correct. They went to talk to the Lord by night. And Jesus was telling him, you know what, you've got to be born again. Let's read from verses 4 to 6. And the guy was wondering, what are you talking about? As an old man, do I go back into my mother's womb? He said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Sorry, you know, Nicodemus was meant to be a teacher of the law, someone that knew, and he was curious. Can I enter my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, you know what? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The body, the flesh is flesh. The Spirit is spirit. We need to yield the body, the flesh, to the Lord so that He can have His way in us. Praise God. There's a separation between the flesh and the Spirit. See, the flesh is flesh. The Spirit is spirit. Paul was urging the believers, present your bodies. Present your bodies. 1 John 2:15 and 16. You know, it's interesting. John wrote a lot, and John also looked at, you know, the flesh in the sense of what constitutes it. It says, don't love the world. Do not love the world. All the things that are in the world, the things of the world. It says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father, I know Baba loves this passage so much. It says, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, and this also relates to the body, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the things of the world, the things, the desires, the cravings, the physical cravings. The physical cravings. It says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It says is not of the Father, but of the world. The lust of the flesh, the cravings, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the things we see, the things we crave because by virtue of sight. It is the pride of life. They're not of the Father. All that is in the world is not of the Father. It is of the world. So there is that distinction between the flesh and the things that are of the world and the things that are of God. You know, even in John 6, verse 63, you know, Jesus Christ was talking about the Spirit being quickened, that it's the Spirit that quickens, that the flesh profits nothing. The flesh amounts to nothing. It is the Spirit that makes alive. It is the Spirit that gives life. John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. It says the flesh profits nothing. So we cannot afford, you cannot afford to focus on the flesh. You cannot afford to make it about your bodies. Your body, it says it doesn't have any profit. It is not profitable. So if it is not profitable, then why can't you present it to the Lord so that the Spirit of God can quicken it, so that the Spirit of God can make it truly alive? Thank God for the Sunday school this morning. You know, it's interesting. We're talking about purgatory and the belief that it is possible to die And if there are any sins in my life, there's an opportunity. Because essentially that is what purgatory is. There's an opportunity that after I've died, okay, I'm not quite there in that perfect state. I can go into purgatory and, you know, the sins can be, I can have, you know, the remission of my sins. I can be prepared for heaven. The Bible says it is appointed for man to die how many times? Once. And after that is judgment. God is a merciful, is a gracious God. Whilst we're here on earth, let us go before him. Let us yield to him. Let us ask him to forgive our sins so that when we die, we can be with him. There's no halfway station. There's no halfway station. Let us ask the spirit of the life of, you know, of Christ to quicken us, to come alive in us. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the word that I speak to you, our spirit, and their life. What words are you speaking? The words you speak, what words are they speaking? Are you speaking? The things you say, do they edify? Do they encourage? I remember once I was young. Actually, I'm still young. Yeah, I'm still young, actually. Yeah, I was younger. Yeah, I was younger. I'm sure, how many of us know that song? Dear Younger Me. Oh, let's see. It's not old school, actually. It's not old school. I'm surprised you guys don't know. Shimla, do you know? Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. All right. You know, I was younger and I entered the bus and I saw this lady. Wow. You know, she was pretty. Beautiful lady. And I was thinking, wow, wow. You know that when she opened her mouth to talk, my goodness. You know, you've heard the saying of using soap to not paste, soap to wash someone's mouth. The filth that was coming out of her mouth. And you know, the physical beauty literally just disappeared when she opened her mouth. And it was literally, sorry, do you get what I'm talking about? It was filth. It was filth that was coming out of her mouth. And you're thinking, all that beauty just became... What is it? What are the words that you speak? Are they encouraging words? Are they words that give life? Are they life-giving words? Are you the kind of person that when you open your mouth, unless you say that you're a Christian, nobody will know. And if you now say you're a Christian, wow, that's even made it worse. Because before you said anything, you know, it didn't matter. You're just you. And then you open your mouth and, you know, you kind of venture that, oh, I go to church. You didn't even say I'm a Christian. You say I go to church. Or, I went to church. And they look at you and like, huh? What happened? How did you end up there? Has anyone ever met anyone like that? I have. And it's not a nice place to be. It's not a nice place to be. What are the things that we do? What are those things that we do? Our lives, are they reflections of Christ indeed? Even if we don't open our mouths to talk, the actions, the things we do, the way we comport ourselves, do they share a message? Do they say something to others? Such that if they find out, or when they find out that you're a Christian, it will be no surprise. I think it will be concerning, as we all sit here, it will be concerning if we get out there. We're not going out on evangelism, but we're out there. And some folks, even if we go out on evangelism, and some of your colleagues, they see you sharing the word or sharing this track, and they're shocked. That would be a sad state of affair. That would be a really sad state of affair. Even if you've never told them you're a Christian, if they find out, will they be surprised? Will your classmates be surprised if they find out you're a Christian? Or do we only do the, it's the God in me in church? Is it only in church that we do that? The words that I speak to you are life. They are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh counts for nothing. New Living Translation says, human efforts accomplish nothing. So the human efforts, the human activities, they come to nothing. It says human efforts accomplishes nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. So that is why we need to present our bodies. We have to present ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can have his way. So that the Holy Spirit can have his way in us. Amen. And you know, I just feel like singing today. You know, there's that song that says, I give myself away. Myself away. It goes back to, it is a conscious decision. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, give myself to you. Give myself away.
I give myself away so you can.
Said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. The English scholars can help me. You know, is it, I'm not sure whether it is paradox or oxymoron. You know, one of those, the two don't go together. A sacrifice is something that you kill, that, you know, you totally give away. But it's saying present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I went to check the definition of sacrifice. It says an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to a deity. An act of slaughtering an animal. So in the, you think about the Old Testament, if they mention sacrifice, you know, they're probably going to kill something. Whether it's a turtle, dove, a goat, a sheep, something. Will be sacrificed. Slaughtering an animal. God forbid that a person be slaughtered. But human sacrifices were happening. Human sacrifices were happening even in the Old Testament. God was against it. It says surrendering a possession. So what is it that you hold most dear? talking about sacrificing, what is that possession? What is that thing that is so important to you? Have you surrendered it? Surrendering the things you hold dear, your life, your all, your body. Just present your bodies as a living sacrifice. To what extent have you presented? To what extent have you surrendered yourself to God? To what extent have you totally yielded to God? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So it is on a continuous basis, on a daily basis, on a, you know, every second, every moment, at every point in time, are you yielding your body as God's possession? Old school, GPP, are you with me? Yeah, I can see some people nodding. GP, God's people, you with me? In my younger days, I'm still young. You all right? Praise the Lord. Let's quickly read from Romans chapter 6 from verse 8. Romans chapter 6 from verse 8. Actually, I'll read. It says, now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live together with him. I'm reading the Amplified. Because we know the self-evident truth that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. For the death that he died to sin, ending its power and paying the sinner's debt once and for all. And the life that it lives to glorify God. Praise God. In unbroken fellowship with him, unbroken fellowship, having died to sin, it lives to glorify God in unbroken fellowship with him. It says, even so, consider yourselves also dead to sin and your relation to it broken, but alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. You're dead to sin, but alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship, constantly in tune with God. It says, let not sin therefore rule as king in your mortal bodies, short-lived, perishable. So if this body is going to perish, if it's going to go, then why not yield it? Why not present it to him so that it can be alive? It says, to make you yield to its cravings and be subject to its lust and evil passions. Verse 13. It says, do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instrument or tools of wickedness. Do not yield your body to sin, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you have been raised from the dead. Praise God, we have been raised from the dead. It says, to a perpetual life, and your bodily members, your hands, your head, your legs, your everything, your bodily members and faculties, your senses, your nose, your eyes. It says to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, every aspect of your faculty to God as a living sacrifice. So that a living sacrifice is one that is dead to sin and alive to God. It is one that denies the flesh and the things of the world on a daily basis. You know, I in one of my devotionals recently, it was talking about, since Christ himself has made such a massive sacrifice for us, we too, we should be able to respond by presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. And he said, we need to be able to present our lips, our mouths, as a sacrifice to God. Praise God. So are we worshiping God with our mouths? Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, therefore, let us all, at all times, offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips, that thankfully acknowledge and confess the glory of his name. Are you offering a sacrifice of praise with your lips? Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. Your life in itself as a sacrifice. We said the faculties, the various members of the body as a sacrifice. You know, one commentary was quoting an early saint, John Chrysostom, and this is what he said. He said, how is the body to become a sacrifice? Let your eye look upon no evil thing. Don't let your eyes look on anything evil, and it has become a sacrifice. It says, let thy tongue speak nothing filthy. So, you know, James said that if anyone is perfect in words, he's a perfect person. It says, let your tongue, if anyone is perfect in the tongue, they're perfect. It says, let your tongue speak no evil thing, nothing filthy, and it has become an offering. Let your hands do no lawless deed, and it has become a whole burnt offering. It says, but this is not enough. We must do good. We must do good works also. Let your hands give alms. Let your mouth bless. Even those that despitefully use you, let your mouth bless them. This is giving your body as a sacrifice. It says, let your ear find leisure evermore for the hearing of scripture. I think that should be pleasure. So what do you desire to hear? Do you desire to hear God's word? It says, for sacrifice can be made only of that which is clean. Sacrifice is a first fruit of other actions. Let us then, from our hands and feet and mouth and all our other members, yield a first fruit to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Only and acceptable. It has to be clean. And he ends that verse and I say, that is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable act of worship. Shall we rise to pray? Are you truly giving your bodies? Are you truly giving yourself as a living sacrifice to God? Are you giving yourself as a sacrifice that is holy, that is acceptable? It is possible to give a sacrifice that is not acceptable. The question you should ask yourself, one, have I given myself as a sacrifice to God? Have I given myself as a living sacrifice that is acceptable, that is holy, that is clean? The scripture says that is your reasonable, your logical service. Given the fact that Christ has done so much for you, so much for me, to redeem us from the curse of the law, that we can be in his presence, that we can be called his own. What is it that I have that has not been given to me?
Give myself away.
give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. Life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. Everlasting Father, we pray, O God, that you will help us, O God, individually and collectively, to give ourselves to you, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, that is holy, that is acceptable to you. That, Lord, you'll find pleasure in us. You'll take pleasure in us, in the things we say, in the things we do, in the ways we behave, that it will be all about, it will be to your glory. That, Lord, the things we do, the things we say, will not bring your name to disrepute. We give you all the praise, O God. If there is any way, O Lord, that we're struggling individually to commit to you in totality, Lord, have mercy. We know that your mercy and your grace is already there for us. Help us to take that conscious step, oh God, to do what is right by you. We thank you, Lord, for the new week we're entering into, Lord. We pray that as we go into the week, that it will be a week full of testimonies in Jesus' name, that your favor will go before us. Your favor will follow us in the mighty name of Jesus. As we found favor before you, oh God, men will go out of their way to favor us in Jesus' name. You will cause all things to work together for our good in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, Father. We say, oh Lord, that testimonies will abound for us in Jesus' name. We'll continue in your presence everywhere we find ourselves, oh Lord. That is where your presence will be in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your living Father. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. Shall we share? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have an awesome week.